now to Goofy, Wacko, Out of Touch Homers.
Just brutal radio. Just horrible.
Live.
41 yards.
From Elliott Bay.
Can you feel it now?
This is Softy and Dick.
All right, Wednesday means a couple things. It means Mike Florio coming up in a matter of minutes here on the program.
He is a genuine butthole.
It means Petros Papadakis at 4 o'clock today.
A horse crap radio show.
Lots of stuff to go over with Petros Papadakis, where apparently they are experiencing some kind of an Armageddon weather event in Los Angeles. You guys have heard about
this. Like the last week and a half.
Yeah, it's beyond belief what's going on down there. And I think it's the beginning of the end, to be honest with you. Yeah. This is God's way of punishing those weirdos down there in Los Angeles, saying for years, you knuckleheads have been pushing the envelope, and I'm tired of it. And you're first, okay? You people are first. So we're going to check in with Petros coming at 4 o'clock. Chad Ryder from the NFL Network covers the draft for them at 5. And then Mike Penix Jr. was with us on the radio show. Maybe one of the best dressed at the Seattle Sports Star Awards yesterday. I think they should incorporate that, by the way, as an award or acknowledgement at the end of the Sports Star Banquet. Best dressed gets like their pick of what they want for dinner the next year, like the Masters champion, right? So you just go around the room, like you take the MVP vote during the game, right? You hand out forms and you put in your best dressed attendant to the Sports Star Banquet, and the winner gets to pick the menu for the following season. How about that for an idea?
I like that.
That's an idea, baby.
You know, I almost screwed up as I was going into the main ballroom. I almost tapped who I thought was Penix on the shoulder and say, hey, thanks for joining us.
Okay.
And it was actually Big Play Babs. They had like the exact same suit on.
Wow.
I was like, oh, hey, how's it going?
So you did not see them from the front. You saw them from the back.
No, I saw, I just kind of looked kind of from the bottom up, like, oh, wow, that's Penix. I just talked to him 20 minutes ago. Hey, thanks for, oh, it's not Penix.
Well, Michael Penix was wearing what I would describe as, and there's a couple of photos on our Twitter account from yesterday as well. He could have gone straight from his job as a movie theater usher to the Sports Star Awards banquet last night because he was looking dapper.
Except the movie theater usher suit probably costs about $24, whereas his suit.
His suit or the,
if you're ushering in a movie, the suit they're supplying you probably cost them $25 at the outlet store.
No, I agree with that. I mean, I'm talking about
this was a nice
high-end movie theater usher costume where, the theater is getting shut down and it's Bill Gates and Jeff Bezos bringing their family. That's the kind of thing you would wear. But he looked great last night. Everybody, Jessamine looked great. Jen Mueller looked great. You looked great. Jackson Feltz looked great. I looked incredible last night.
I love your golf tie.
At the Sports Star. You know where I bought that, by the way, that tie?
In Rome.
I bought it in Rome.
Yeah.
And if you missed our interview with Roma Dunze, I made an offer to him. I said, dude, first of all, work hard, right? Put in the effort, okay? Bust your ass, and maybe, just maybe one day, you can have a tie like Softy. And then number two, I told him, if you get invited to the green room at the NFL draft next year, you can wear this tie. You think he'll take me up on the offer?
I do not think so.
The tie was bought in Rome, and your name is Rome.
He was kind of interested in it. And then when you said wear it at the draft, he was like, nah, okay. He was very polite, though. Yeah, it was kind of like the polite disapproval. But, I mean, was that one that you bought? Did it have, did you buy it outside at a
inside.
Market?
No, this is at a big-time fashion superstore in Rome. Yeah.
Because
I didn't buy it from somebody pushing a cart down
the street. I was kind of picturing the ones, outside on a rack and the carts that have the plastic covering on each one of the ties.
No, this is a fancy smanchy 100% silk tie bought from Rome, which, by the way, the Ryder Cup is in Rome this year. So another reason to use Softy's tie at the green room next year. So we'll see. Anyway, it was fun to be out there. You missed it. It's on the website at sportsradio 93.3kjr.com. Mike Penix joining us coming up at 6 p.m. tonight after his visit yesterday. Tomorrow, I just got to mention real quick tomorrow, because Mike Florio is going to join us in a matter of seconds here. This is my way of filling time until Mike Florio comes on the air, because starting a new topic right now makes no sense.
Pro move by you.
We'll have to break in like 30 seconds from now. Tomorrow, Ian's taking the day off, and we're going to fill his Cougar Love Fest with Husky talk for 2.5 hours. Kalen DeBoer,
beautiful.
Cam Cleland tomorrow, Christian Capel, who got let go by the Athletic, will make his radio debut post-Athletic with us tomorrow at 3 o'clock and talk about what his next move is going to be. So, hey, I hope Ian enjoys the day off. but we're going to take his crimson and gray 2-hour love fest and turn it into a Husky Central orgy for dog fans. How about that? I have no problem saying
He's paying for
two
being
and a half
gone.
Hours tomorrow. Paying That's dearly. Right. You leave and you let the inmates take over. This is what happens, pal. Let's get to Mike Florio right now.
It's time for our weekly conversation with Pro Football Talk's Mike Florio. Brought to you by Simply Seattle. Tired of buying and repping the same old Seattle sports gear everyone else has? For the best Storm, Seahawks, Mariners, Kraken, Rainiers, Sounders, and not to mention the largest Sonics collection in the world, check out SimplySeattle.com. Now with Mike Florio, here's Softy and Dick.
You saw George Karl last night was wearing his Griffey MLB logo hoodie last night at the Sports Star Banquet. You want to dress up like George Karl, get yourself some kid logo gear. They got hoodies, they got t-shirts, they got the whole thing at simplyseattle.com. Check it out and use code KJR15 at discount for 15% off your entire order at simplyseattle.com. Here he is joining us right now, the king of all NFL media,
what's up, buttholes?
Our friend Mike Florio. Mike, how are you, pal?
What's up, buttholes? What's up, buttholes?
Why are you driving back from Indy and not staying in Indy for the rest of the combine?
Well, because it was decided by people higher than me on the food chain that 2 days was enough. We were there yesterday for 3 hours live, today 3 hours live. We had somewhere between 20 and 30 guests, either live or on tape. Tomorrow is basically a wasteland as it relates to availability. So decision was made to pull the plug. It's expensive. Again, it's not my money, so it's up to them. And I get paid either way, whether I'm at home or out here. So they wanted to call it after 2 days. They called it after 2 days, and I'm on my way home.
All right. Jalen Carter, the big story today, and it's probably going to be the big story throughout the week at the Combine. You know, the precedents, talk about the precedents for guys getting in trouble or at least facing some heat prior to the draft and how much that's affected their draft position.
Well, the most recent example was Lyle Collins, who played for the Cowboys for a long time and is now with the Bengals. He had an entanglement that came up at the worst possible time, like just as the draft was starting, and he was completely exonerated, but he was just close to the events and the relationships involved. There was a murder or something along those lines. He was never implicated, completely innocent, but there wasn't enough time for teams to get comfortable with that. We got 2 months now for people to figure out what happened, what Jalen Carter did, what he didn't do. He's charged with 2 misdemeanors, which even if he fights it all the way to the end and gets convicted, how much jail time are we talking about? Misdemeanors typically don't result in significant jail time, even if there's a conviction. He would be wise to try to resolve this, maybe for a lesser charge. He claims he's going to be exonerated. Either way, we got 2 months for teams to figure it out. He won't be subject to an NFL suspension because this is all pre-entering the NFL type behavior. So it shocked everyone. Stunned everyone, but I think the dust will settle on this fairly quickly. By the time we get to the draft, people will be comfortable with what they're getting into, and it may not affect his status very much at all.
Well, what is the big story? Because we're hearing about Bryce Young may actually be 5'10.5" when he's listed at 6 foot. Anthony Richardson seems to be the flavor of the day in the NFL when it comes to the draft. The Seahawks are at number 5. Will they trade down? Is there an obvious number one main storyline that we should all be following in this draft?
No, I just think it's a smorgasbord of stories and rumors and plans and strategies. I think the more immediate reality is, what are the Ravens going to do about Lamar Jackson, and what is Aaron Rodgers going to do about playing football? Those are the two things that are hovering over the NFL and potentially impact the free agency movement or lack thereof dramatically, because if Lamar's in play under the non-exclusive franchise tag, that could cause some teams to maybe pursue him. And if Aaron Rodgers continues to drag his feet, it's going to slow down the Derek Carr market, because Carr's not going to sign anywhere as a practical matter, even if he wants to, until teams interested in him who are also interested in Aaron Rodgers know whether or not they're getting a shot at Rodgers.
Is the silent treatment that Rodgers have been giving Green Bay kind of his passive-aggressive way of demanding a trade?
I can never figure out what that guy's thinking. I've started to wonder whether he's going to take the Brett Favre career arc to another level and retire now or soon and then unretire later at a time when it would be very difficult for the Packers to deal with him. Because I look at it this way. If he decides he wants to play for someone else, and the Packers are truly ready to move on, they shouldn't place kooky demands on the trade process, like we don't want him being traded to an NFC team. Just trade him wherever he wants to go, and don't put your thumb on the scale. If you're ready to move on from him, be happy that you're getting the salary cap relief.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Be grateful for the years you had with him. Because if I'm a team that wants him, I don't know how much I can justify giving up based upon the possibility he may only play one more year. So I think it would have to be, in order to be truly fair, it would have to take into account draft picks in future years that hinge on whether he plays. You know, a 2024 pick based on how much he does or doesn't play in 2023, a 2025 pick based on whether he plays or not, and if so, how much in 24. I think that's the best way to do it. And even then, it may be a little overreach by the Packers. They should just be glad to move on from the cap commitment and turn the page to Jordan Love if that's what they end up doing.
Well, let me ask you this, because there was a story that came out the other day. I think it was Albert Breer. And it's not a gigantic story. Obviously, the Jets are looking for a quarterback and would be wise to turn over every rock. But he mentioned them showing interest in potentially talking to Geno Smith about a return. Do you actually buy that Geno Smith could have a reunion in New York with the Jets?
I buy that the Jets would have at least thought about it. You know, this is the time of year where many things are discussed. Many things are pondered, and they become news because people will click on it. And this isn't a slight against Albert Breer.
Yeah.
This is a reality. Sims and I were talking about this on the show earlier today. You know, a team thinks about trading out of the number one overall pick, so it becomes a story. Team thinks about trading up, becomes a story. Team thinks about trying to trade for Bengals receiver T. Higgins, becomes a story. But the reality is, you're not doing your job as an NFL executive or head coach if you're not thinking broadly and creatively about all your various options. So, hey, the Jets are looking for a veteran quarterback. Why not Geno Smith based upon what he did last year? And it would be stupid to not consider a guy that could come in and play well for you just because he played well for you didn't play well for you a decade ago. And we know what happened after that. So, I think it's smart. And as Frank Reich, the Panthers coach, said today, it's malpractice if you don't consider every single option at quarterback before you make that final decision.
Mike, your thoughts on the report that Russ tried to get Pete and John fired, and are you still of the opinion that Seahawks fans should not have booed Russ in the opener last year?
I've never said they shouldn't have booed.
You scolded us. Didn't you scold us?
No, I didn't.
Dave?
I'd have to go back and check the tape.
No, Peter King was the one who said that there shouldn't be booing, and no, I scolded you guys for taking unreasonable glee every single week in the struggles of Russell Wilson. It was the worst case of schadenfreude of the 21st century.
Mm-hmm.
So just enjoy the fact that your team was winning. I'm not surprised by the report, because what do you think he said to ownership last year? I mean, if he wanted to change, he didn't want to change a helmets. He didn't want to change a cities. He had been unhappy with the way things had been going in Seattle. That all bubbled up a year before he was traded. He went on Dan Patrick's show just a few days after he was at the Super Bowl, sitting next to Roger Goodell, looking all miserable because he was watching Patrick Mahomes and Tom Brady play. And then he goes on Dan Patrick, and he's as blunt as he's ever been, more blunt, really, than he's ever been. And then we have that thing where his agent publicly says that Russell Wilson doesn't want to be traded. But if he were to be traded, he'd accept trades to the Bears, Raiders, Cowboys, or Saints. No, I mean, it doesn't surprise me that a year later, you know, and you don't come out and say, you don't have to come out and say it. Just like Tom Brady didn't have to come out and say, I'll come back if you get rid of Bruce Arians.
Right.
You don't have to say that. You can say it without saying it. You can send the message without saying it. It's like, look, I'm at the point in my career where I feel like I need to have a different head coach. So unless I'm going to have a different head coach here, I need to go to a place where I'll have a different head coach. And are you saying you want Pete Carroll fired? Technically, no. As a practical matter, yes.
Mm-hmm.
So none of that surprises me. And I don't know if you saw Pete on our show this week. He took the high road. He still loves Russ, and he's not hurt by it. He has no opinion on whether it's true or false. He doesn't care. Russ is still his guy, and that's how he feels.
Well, the reason why we had Schadenfreude is because the worse he played, the better the Hawks draft pick got. Russell Wilson had an 84.5 passer rating, and because of that, the Hawks end up with a number 5 pick in the NFL draft. Now that trade is now over with.
That wasn't the reason.
That wasn't the reason why the Hawks got the number 5 pick or why we had Schadenfreude.
You weren't happy about the pick. You were happy that Russ sucked.
I was, because it led to a better draft pick. And I will prove it to you by admitting right now, Michael, on the air, that I am now pulling for Russell Wilson starting this September because there's no impact to the Seahawks draft position.
Okay. I'll believe it when it happens.
All right. If Aaron Rodgers doesn't go back to Green Bay, where does he go? What's your gut tell you?
Back into the little burrow under the... under the hill.
In Oregon.
He's emerged.
He's a hobbit now.
He's emerged. And he says he's not going to drag this out. So where does he go and how long until we know?
I mean, I thought all along he was going to go back to the Packers until Bob McGinn went on Tyler Dunn's podcast and said the Packers are disgusted with him. They're done with him. And I really don't know. I really don't know. And there are so many people who have reached their lifetime limit of Aaron Rodgers. I know he's good for business, but I wouldn't be all that unhappy if he just decided to pack it in. I really don't know what he's going to do, though. I love a good story, though, and I love some chaos. So, but where does he go? Where does he go that he immediately has a chance to win? And you know, think about him going to the Jets if that happens.
Mm-hmm.
First press conference. How many people are going to be at 300?
Right.
Remember the Tim Tebow press conference when he went to the Jets? And if he's going to do this whole I'm not coming to the offseason program, that's not going to fly. So there's no team that jumps off the page as an obvious Aaron Rodgers, I almost said Brett Favre, an obvious Aaron Rodgers destination. So I really don't know. And I think at this stage of his career, he's probably better off staying where he is. But I get the impression the Packers are ready to move on. They had 3 years of Jordan Love on the bench. We saw a glimpse of him on a Sunday night last year against the Eagles, and I think they'd like to move on.
Mike, with the Lamar Jackson situation, is a fully guaranteed deal either with him or anybody else in the near future ever going to happen, or do we have 31 teams looking at Cleveland and Deshaun Watson's deal saying, this ain't happening to us?
Well, all it takes is one team to do a crazy deal, and last year all it took was the Browns to do the 5-year fully guaranteed contract with Deshaun Watson. I think the problem is, as long as Lamar Jackson doesn't have an agent, I don't know how you negotiate a deal. It's almost like you have to show up and drop into his lap exactly what he wants without negotiation. Because I just don't think that they're able to negotiate. Lamar Jackson and whoever is helping him, and technically teams can't talk to anybody but the player or an NFLPA certified agent. They can't talk to his mother, even if his mother's the one who's helping him. They can only communicate with him. It's just a bad situation. He should have had an agent by now. He would have had a deal by now. His future with the Ravens would be secured. And now we head into this mystery that we'll get the next answer 6 days from now. If they don't sign the long-term contract, they'll either use the non-exclusive franchise tag at $32 million or exclusive at $45 million. And at non-exclusive, that would allow a team out there. The Falcons, there's some steam about them. Or whoever, if they're going to sign Lamar Jackson to an offer sheet and then potentially give up 2 first-round draft picks. But again, you got to negotiate with him. He's got to agree to a deal. Yep. And if he's stuck on this fully guaranteed contract, it's not going to happen. One last point, though. When Stephen A. Smith went on the air Friday and said he had spoken to someone from Lamar's camp and Lamar had never demanded a fully guaranteed contract from the Ravens, number one, that's just false. Number two, maybe it's a sign that – The ice is beginning to melt, and maybe he won't insist on a fully guaranteed contract. And suggesting that he never wanted one is kind of a face-saving way of doing that.
Mike, enjoy the ride. Buckle up. Hands at 10-2. Stay safe, and text us when you get home to make sure you're safe.
Hey, all right? I'm not driving. When you have money, you don't drive. You ride.
Is it a chauffeur or just an Uber black?
Simsy.
No, it is. No, it is my driver.
Wow. You actually have a driver? Are you sitting in the back seat right now?
I'm in the back seat.
Wow.
Is his name Jeeves?
That is a boss move, by the way. That is a boss
move. That's all confidential information.
Driving Mr. Florio, all right? You've heard of Driving Miss Daisy? Coming up next, Driving Mr. Florio. We're going to have that hit a movie screen near you very soon.
Love it.
All right, man. Enjoy the ride then. We'll talk soon, buddy. See ya.
Later.
All right, Mike Florio with us on the air.
How about that?
One thing that's crazy. One thing that we did not get to, the NFLPA has come out. Did you see this, by the way? With grades for all 32 NFL teams. They polled 1,300 players, and they asked them for their thoughts, grades on everything from treatment of families to the weight room to the training staff, the locker room, team travel, all that stuff. So where do you think the Hawks graded on these things, and who was the best and who was the worst? We're going to talk about that coming up next on Softy and Dick on 93.3 KJR FM.
Now back to Softy and Dick.
Trying to outrun the field. Two-handed stuff.
And that's the dagger.
On your home for the Rim Redland coverage of March Madness.
Dude, I'm not driving. When you have money, you don't drive.
You know, I'm just imagining Mike Florio right there, who was with us last segment, being driven back from the combine to his home in West Virginia. And he's in a limousine, and there's a barrier between him and the driver. The barrier's up because Mike is making important phone calls and doesn't want the driver to be tweeting about who Mike's talking to. Although the driver has a microphone that he can press and listen in on the conversation. But he doesn't know that, right? So Mike's in the back, and he's got some big, giant brick phone from, like, the 1990s.
He absolutely does.
And he's got a satellite, like, extender. He rolls the window down and puts the extender on top of the car, drives down the road, big, giant antenna, right to the NFL offices in New York City. That's what I'm envisioning.
Now, I think, doesn't Mike actually have to press the button for the driver to be able to hear what he's saying?
I don't know. I think the driver has some super secret contraption where he can hear what's going on. The all these bigwigs, they all think they're sitting back there in private, but they're really not. That driver.
Drivers know everything.
Driver's sitting there, and he's listening to everything Mike is saying. By the way, update from the women's tournament in Vegas. UW in the first round. 3:33 to go, second quarter, leading Oregon 25-19 as we speak from the women's tournament in Las Vegas. All right, did you see what came out today, the NFLPA? I think it's a great idea. Mm-hmm. I would love to know more about what players think about teams and fans and media and officials. Who would not want to be a fly on the wall, right? And hear these players talking about what they really think about the people that cover them or the fans that buy their tickets or the way they're treated by their teams. So the NFLPA polled 1,300 players, and they asked them to grade every team on a variety of topics, the treatment of families, nutrition, the weight room, the strength staff, the training room, the training staff, the locker room, team travel, all kinds of things like that. So have you seen this update, by the way?
Yeah.
So you know the answer to all these questions.
I do,
So at that's okay. Out of 32 teams, the Seahawks rated 11th overall in the NFL. The Niners were number 7. The Rams were number 25, sorry, and the Cardinals, the Arizona Cardinals, were 31st out of 32 in the NFL. Minnesota was number 1, Miami was number 2, Vegas was number 3, and dead last in 32nd place, the Washington Commanders, which is no surprise whatsoever. So here's how the Seahawks players graded all those different categories. Treatment of families, got a B+, came in number 5. Out of 32. Food service / nutrition got a B+, came in 8th out of 32 teams. The weight room got an A-, came in 9th out of 32 teams. The strength coaches got an A-, came in 17th out of 32 teams. The training room got a B-, came in 12th out of 32 teams. The training staff got a B+, came in 22nd out of 32 teams. The locker room got an A-, tied for 8th, and team travel got a C, tied for 21st. Now, you would assume, and I would assume, that part of the reason why team travel got such a low grade is because they fly more than any team in the NFL.
They got no control over it.
Right. They're stuck up here in South Alaska, as Jimmy Johnson used to say.
That was one of the...
That was one of the reasons why.
Yes.
But the report says that the players would like to the Seahawks to improve on making travel more comfortable, as they are only one of 7 teams that do not offer players first-class flights, the only exception being after they win a game on the road. You lose a game on the road, and you're sitting in steerage with the Pilgrims flying home. You win a game, you get first class.
I think if you lose a game on the road, you sit with the pets underneath.
How about you walk home? How's that sound?
Absolutely. I mean, you're paid underneath. To win games.
That's funny. Well, I was just talking to somebody off the air, and there's only about 25, 30 first class seats on their Boeing charter plane anyway. So the entire team can't sit there.
Okay.
So I assume the starters would get first shot, maybe. I don't know if the offense scores 45, defense gives up 40. Maybe the entire offense gets to grab the first class seats. I have no idea. But did they not used to have a private plane back in the day?
Yeah, they had this one with the Seahawk logo on it.
And they got
rid of
it.
The old school
and they
one.
Sold it. So why not buy a private plane? Why not have all NFL teams, like the WNBA players complain all the time, right, about not having charter flights.
Right.
They're flying coach. Like, you could literally get on a plane going from Seattle to Phoenix, and you could see Sue Bird on the plane, right?
That's right.
You could see Jewel Lloyd on the plane.
I did it all the time.
You could see Dick Fane on the plane. You could see Brittany Griner on the plane. That, to me, is kind of weird, but the WNBA doesn't have nearly the revenue the NFL has. The NFL could absolutely afford every team having their own freaking plane with 150 first-class seats, whatever it would be, retrofitted for the entire team so everybody flies first class, but they don't do that.
Well, the only thing about that, though, is, I mean, are you really going to buy a plane to use it 10 times a year? That's all you need a team plane for. You got two road trips in the preseason, which may turn into one.
Why not share it with somebody?
Yeah, there you go.
Why not share it with a different sports team? Share it with the Mariners. Share it with the Storm. Share it with the Huskies or whatever. I mean, obviously, some of that overlaps. I understand that.
Mariners and the Seahawks could pretty much do it because it's only like 1 month.
You could do it for sure. You're saying because the M's are never playing in October? Is that your point?
Well, it's been
there's a way around that, right?
Sure.
You could definitely split that with somebody and share that cost. I don't know. I mean, the cool thing for me is that there's an opportunity for somebody like Seattle, because every team doesn't do that, to say, hey, we're going to do it. We're going to give you a private plane with the lab of luxury. There's going to be a bar in the back, a casino upstairs, a smoking lounge downstairs.
I think you should broker that deal. And if you get the deal brokered, then you get a softy seat on the plane wherever it goes.
Yeah, there you go. I'm going to read you the Arizona Cardinals, by the way.
Oh, my God. It's bad.
Report card. Arizona Cardinals, treatment of families, F. Food service nutrition, F minus. Weight room, F minus. Strength coaches, A. Training room, F minus. Training staff, B plus. So they like the staff. They hate the facilities.
Right.
Locker room got an F, and team travel got a B plus out of Arizona. How about that? They think that Michael Bidwell and the Arizona Cardinals are sons of cheap you-know-whats, and they're ruining the player experience down there in Arizona. That's great news if you're a Seahawks fan.
There were only 16 Fs given out, and there were a total of 256 individual grades.
Right.
All right?
Right.
There were only 16 Fs given out.
Okay.
9 of the 16 went to the Cardinals and the Commanders. They got over half the Fs, just two teams, and they finished far behind. One really kind of surprised me is, and maybe this is part of the reason that they're not attaining the type of success we think they should, the Chargers were third to last, and the Chargers got an F as well. So maybe there's some issues there in Los Angeles. It's kind of keeping off the field issues. It's kind of keeping them from getting to the AFC Championship where we all kind of thought they'd be by now.
And we mentioned to Mike Florio, Geno Smith being courted potentially by the Jets. Is that a real thing, or is that something that somebody somewhere just concocted in their brain? We'll talk to Andy Vasquez, who covers the Jets, about that. Is there a chance that Geno Smith could be on his way back to where it all began in New York with the Jets? Could they be taking the Geno chant back to the Big Apple? Andy Vasquez is going to join us next on 93.3 KJR FM.
Now back to Softy and Dick.
Tried out on the field. Two-handed stuff.
And that's the dagger.
On your home for the Rim Redland coverage of March Madness.
Three-count jam.
All right, we're back on a busy Wednesday afternoon. Petros Papadakis will join us next segment right here on Softy and Dick. Chad Ryder, who's at the Combine from the NFL Network at 5 p.m. talking draft. But a story came out a couple days ago that the Jets are tinkering with the idea of maybe, just maybe, bringing back to the Big Apple to play quarterback for the Jets. So is this just kind of one of those things that, you know, somebody somewhere says something and somebody runs with it? Or is there actually teeth to the idea that Geno Smith could end up back in a Jet uniform? Well, there's only one guy that knows. One man walking the entire face of the earth knows if Geno Smith is going back to New York. And that is Andy Vasquez from New Jersey Advanced Media, covers the Jets, and is with us right here on the air. Andy, how are you, pal? What's going on?
Doing well, guys. Thanks for having me on. And I would say that seems unlikely to me, but we'll see what happens. But I don't think the reunion with Geno would be welcomed by the fans, even though he's playing really well. I don't think it would be welcomed by the fans, and I don't know how welcome it would be to Geno, considering how things kind of went when he was here. But you know, that isn't one. There's been a lot of quarterbacks on the radar for the Jets, but that isn't one that I've been hearing about lately. I will say that.
Well, let's talk about that. Let's say Geno Smith began his career in Miami, and then he went to the Atlanta Falcons, and then he went to the Seattle Seahawks, and he never stepped foot in New York City. Would the fans, would the Jets as an organization then maybe feel differently about it?
Oh, I think for sure. I mean, if you look at what Geno has done and what he did last year and the way he played, and especially the way he played in that first half against the Jets. I mean, there's a lot to like there, but it's also just kind of the reality of the situation. When you're quarterback in New York and it doesn't go well, it's hard to kind of move past that, not just for the player emotionally, but for these fans, because, you know, you're not just talking about a fan base that is tough on its players. You're talking about a fan base that is now on 12 seasons, the most in franchise history without a playoff berth, and the longest drought in the NFL, but like double. So there's a lot of anger. There's a lot of frustration, and there's not a lot of patience. And I think it kind of does handcuff what these guys can do when they're bringing in players.
So what do you think the Jets' priority list should be when it comes to guys like Aaron Rodgers or Derek Carr or other guys that are out there? And what do Jets fans think the priority should be?
Well, I think it's a combination thing. Obviously, you want talent. I mean, the Jets haven't had a quarterback who's thrown for 4,000 yards since Joe Namath did it before they won their Super Bowl in 1968. So it's been like 56 years. I think it was 1966 or 67 when he did it. So that's incredible, first of all. So talent, I mean, this haven't had a talented quarterback who's proven and had a consistent track record in a long time. And you will also want, you know, the guy to be fully bought into what you're doing, because you have a young team that has a lot of upside. I don't know if people realize, you know, how much young talent there is on this team.
Yep.
They can be really good. But, you know, with Rodgers, it's like, how bought in is he? I'm sure there'll be some motivation because there are doubters and stuff. But I think that's like a legitimate concern. But then it's Aaron Rodgers. He's extremely talented. So, you know, it's a calculation. It's a risk. They've also got to be able to deal with all the pressure that comes and all the visibility that comes with being in the biggest media market in the country. So it's not just one thing, but it has to start with talent. And that's why it's very intriguing if you kind of, you know, compare the choice between Rodgers and Carr right now.
Well, Andy Vasquez, again, covers the Jets for New Jersey Advanced Media, saying he has not heard anything in regards to Geno Smith coming back to New York. Not one of the names that he's heard of. And how do you think he would do out there, honestly? I mean, he had his moments in Seattle for the first half of the year, struggled in the second half of the year. But if they did bring him back, how do you think he'd do in New York?
You know, I only covered Geno for 1 year. It was my first year on the beat in 2016. Understandably, his attitude was not in the best place that year.
Right.
You know, after being benched and then getting punched in the face and then getting benched and then watching as the team struggled and began its most recent struggles. I think it would all depend on his mindset. He's clearly shown that he can be an effective quarterback in this league. It wasn't a fluke, I don't think, the way he played the first half of the season and, you know, played well at times in the second half of the season to help them make the playoffs. I think it would depend on his attitude. And I think, you know, I think if he played well, started strong, I think he'd be fine. He'd have a chance to be the best quarterback the Jets have had in a long time. That's for sure.
Do the Jets feel like with a capable quarterback, they're a Super Bowl championship team, or do they feel with a capable quarterback, they're a, you know, legitimate challenge the Bills, but, you know, 11-ish win type team?
I think they feel like if they get the right quarterback that they are a Super Bowl contending team. Do I think they are? No. I think there's still some question marks on defense. I think their offensive line is still a huge question mark in my mind, and I think they're a little bit further away, but there is no denying that if they had had even borderline competent quarterback play last year, they would have been a playoff team. I mean, they had 7 wins going into December and finished with 7 wins. So lost the last six games of the season in large part because they couldn't score.
Yep.
And in large part because their quarterback room was atrocious. So, I mean, I think they have an argument that they could be a Super Bowl contender. I don't think they're there yet, just being around them. But I do think that they think they're that close.
Yeah, I would
and
say
hey, there's a lot of young talented players who could make a leap in 2023 and maybe.
For sure. I would say if the Jets were in the NFC, they'd have a much bigger case for being a contender. But in the AFC, I agree with you. But Andy Vasquez, New Jersey Advanced Media, again, is with us. There were reports that the Jets may have been looking at Geno Smith with a reunion. Andy's saying he has not heard that. And I got to be honest with you, man. I'm flummoxed as to why it's been 55 years since this Jet team has played in a Super Bowl. Meantime, the Giants, who play in the same damn freaking stadium, have multiple titles and multiple Super Bowl appearances. Why has it been so long? What is keeping the Jets back from getting even back to that game and winning a championship?
I mean, if you just look at, you know, it's hard to put it on the owners because the owners have only been owners for the last 23 years. And obviously there's, like you said, 32 years of futility before that in terms of not getting back to the Super Bowl. But I mean, ownership is where it starts. If you're making consistently good decisions and your processes are sound, when you're hiring people, you're more likely to hire the right people. You're more likely to get the most out of your players. And I think the Giants have done a way better job than the Jets of that. And I think there's still a lot of question marks about that. And then there's luck, man. I mean, it's like, it's hard at this day and age in the NFL to not have a quarterback throw for 4,000 yards in 50 years or to have a 12-year playoff drought in an era of parity in the NFL. Like, it's some of it's bad luck, but also some of it is, the ownership making the wrong calls and being inconsistent. And then there is a lot of negativity around the team as well. And I think, some players and coaches have not known how to handle that, and it makes it harder to overcome the deficit. But I don't think it's one simple answer, but if I had to pinpoint it to one thing, it would start with ownership and just not making the right decisions.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. All right, man, great stuff. I guess we can put a kibosh on the Geno back to the Jet idea. Not going to happen. Andy Vasquez, great stuff. Enjoy the week, and we'll talk soon.
Thanks,
all right,
man.
Buddy?
Thanks, guys. And yeah, as soon as I say something definitively, maybe it will happen. So who knows?
Yeah, but done.
You know, I don't see it.
Yeah, and be sure and text us first before you tweet it, okay?
Sounds good, Cal.
I'll see you. Andy Vasquez. I texted Cousin Evan, by the way, because I got to ask him, what would the reaction be if the Jets signed Geno Smith to a contract? And when he reports back, I'll let you know what he says. But yeah, that's. I think it's just about the Jets, who have been so putrid a quarterback for so many years, turning over every freaking rock out there. Well, and why shouldn't they, for God's sake?
What if they get desperate? What if they can't trade for Rodgers? What if Carr signs someplace else? And then, all of a sudden, the Jets are like, well, crap. Maybe we do have to go overpay Geno Smith.
I'm telling you. You know what? If he leaves Seattle, I would love to see him back in New York.
Absolutely.
Just to see the cluster F that would ensue in New York City. We got a break. Petros Papadakis going to join us coming up next right here for his weekly visit on 93.3 KJR-FM.
The horse crap radio show.